Begin today with the reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, I think it is, or 1 to 9, 1 to 10, and you have it in your bulletin, but you also guess you're going to have it up here. So I'd just like us to read it together. You ready? Here we go. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at that gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today concerning the miracles that you do in our lives and also those providential acts that take place concerning the movement of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in a series on miracles, and last week I talked about expecting a miracle, and we should expect miracles, but we cannot demand them. We can be the recipients of miracles, but we can also be the ones who dispense miracle-working power of God, and we're to be miracle workers for Christ in this world, be agents of the Holy Spirit. And last week I talked about expecting the miracles. And later on, we're going to be looking at this particular scripture and a couple others on miracles in the Bible that have taken place. But I want to stop today, and I want to look at miracles, but I want to give a kind of a definition and define and focus what I perceive miracles to be. But and so kind of get your attention in terms of that kind of thing. To begin with, I believe in miracles, and I hope you do too. I've even seen a couple of miracles that, as far as I can tell, are the real thing. I know that in the eyes of the heart that perceive God and not reason, as Shakespeare did write, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. There are things that happen in this world that we just can't explain. I also know that not all mysteries are necessarily miracles. I also know for a fact that in the long run, we're all dead. Yes, we are. Barring a miracle, you and I are going to die at some point. That's the only thing that could save us. And with that kind of thing, thinking in mind, let me give you some thoughts on miracles. Maybe kind of crystallize your thinking on miracles so that you can have a tighter definition and focus on miracles and what is a miracle. We've really become rather flippant in our society in the use of the word miracle. We see a lot of it on TV, and it seems to me to be very flippant and sensationalized in our media, in fact. In some of our churches as well, we say things like, you know, miracles are happening all the time. But you would never believe it if you were to gauge it by the sensationalizing of them on TV. I say there are wonderful things happening all the time. And there are a great many miracles happening all the time. In fact, we probably could not count all the miracles that will take place around the world in just this day alone. But they're undocumented, but they happen out there in the context of people's lives, and we don't ever see them unless we're closely involved with that. Now, I'm not talking about the beautiful, glorious miracle of the birth of a Christian, the new birth of someone into the kingdom of God as they become and they receive Jesus as their Savior and they begin to make that journey of making Him Lord of their life. I'm not really even talking about that. I'm talking about miracles like the one we just read here in Acts chapter 3 of the cripple, that there are things that are literally happening around us and in the world today that we really don't get any documentation on. In fact, there are things that have happened in the context of this congregation over the past 14 years that I have been, they look pretty strange to me in terms of the natural order of things. And some of you may know that as well as I do. And I want those things to happen on occasion, and I hope so do you. As a matter of fact, if I were to say to you, say that the Lord is giving us new gifts, each of us has a choice whether or not we're going to get involved with some of the things that God is doing. Some of us would, I would like for miracles to happen through me. But some others would might say, I shudder at the thought of the responsibility of that, however. The responsibility of being a bearer of miracles might demand too much. If I don't work one at the right time, what if? You know, I don't have faith for one when I should. What if? What if there's a miracle moment that I miss? And so we tend to kind of back away from this completely. And we say, I'm going to love God and serve Him. And I'll just let other people do the miracles. In fact, I'll pray for miracles and I'll let somebody else be the agent. But I invite you today to walk into miracles. Sometimes. I don't know when, maybe not now or even soon, but maybe tomorrow when you can minister a miracle. Anyway, I want to talk about a definition. One of the things that hinders us from becoming agents of miracle power is a lot of times our lack of understanding of things. So I'm not going to argue words with people, but just for the sake of arguing, but I want us to look at our understanding of the miraculous, which may affect how we speak about certain things that happen in the context of our lives. And all the good things that the Lord does for us are not miracles. There's another word that we need to learn or another kind of thinking that we need to learn to use, and I'm not really running a semantic test here, but I'm just kind of trying to get it into categories where we can think, because to do a semantics with you would be meaningless anyway. But our understanding needs to be focused or sharpened. Yeah, so let me talk about two different kinds of things, miracles and the providential acts of God. And then you can apply them to the context of your own personal experience and your life. Providential acts of God. They happen to us all the time, but we usually or frequently use the word miracle for things that are not miracles, but are in fact under the category of the providence of God. So let me talk about the difference. When we speak of a miracle, we're talking about the action of God, whereby He, one of three things, suspends, transcends, or expedites the normal order of things, the actual order of things. Let me say it again. A miracle happens when God suspends, transcends, or expedites the normal order of things. For example, from a biblical standpoint, when Jesus comes walking on the Sea of Galilee, we need to understand that what took place was a suspending of the natural order of things, at least locally in the immediate vicinity of Jesus. What kept Jesus from sinking? Was the suspension of the law of gravity or the changing of the viscosity of the water? Or something I can't even imagine. But something happened out of the ordinary. And all I know is that a miracle occurred because there was a suspension of the natural order of things. And you might ask, do you believe that? Yes, I do. Can I explain it? Nope, I can't explain it. That's one thing about miracles. You can't explain them. You just decide whether you believe them or reject them. And of course, the cornerstone miracle is the resurrection of Jesus. Either he is who he said he was, or he isn't. And the resurrection is the miracle proof that he was who he said he was. And you either believe that or you don't. You just decide. Now, people will try to explain miracles. They will either try to explain a natural reason for them, or they will try to explain about the attitude of the people who actually believe in those kinds of things. And even so, it's still just a finite human explanation. Anyway, miracles are a suspension of the normal order of things. Or secondly, miracles can transcend the normal order of things. That is, they just go beyond what normally would take place or would not take place. The case in point that we just read in the book of Acts is the healing of that cripple who had been a cripple from birth in Acts chapter 3. There's another one in John chapter 9, which I want you to read with me here in just a second, but where this blind man was restored to health, and it was done with a miracle. In the case of Acts, it says that the man was 40 years old and born with the condition. It was a congenital birth defect. In chapter 9, we have another person who was born with a condition of blindness. Let's read John chapter 9. Verses 1 to 7. Here we go. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." As he said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes with the clay, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. This was a congenital birth defect. Either it took place as a result of the damage of the delivery of the child. Perhaps some midwife was attempting to deliver with an ancient set of forceps and pinched a nerve ending someplace that could cause the damage so that the man was born blind. Or it may have been the result of the mother being sick or a hereditary recessive gene or something. In any case, he would never have received his sight by normal processes. If he was going to get over his blindness, it should have happened by now. Same with the cripple in the book of Acts. If he was going to get over it, by his 40th birthday, it should have happened. In both cases, the doctors could have helped. It should have taken place someplace during that time. But God transcended the natural process or order of things, and they were healed, and that's a miracle. So a miracle is an instance when there is a suspending or a transcending of the natural order of things. There's one other aspect of miracles, and it can sometimes bleed over into what is known as the providential acts of God. Some we can see as miracles fairly clearly, though, and that is where something is expedited so rapidly that it's a miracle. Let's take the case of someone who has a sickness. If there's given enough time, they will get over it. But in fact, what happens is it happens with such speed that you know that it's more than an ordinary event. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, we have an instance of this. It's a classic example that in which an ordinary thing would have happened, but it was happened very quickly. Let's read it together. Here we go. "And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served him." This was a miracle moment in which Jesus expedited the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, so probably so she could stop complaining and get up and fix Jesus something to eat. No, I know that doesn't. That's anyway. Jesus expedited the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. This also lets you know that Peter was married. She would probably have gotten well on her own. But this is an instance of the miraculous in that it expedited the normal order of things. So let me give you a definition of a miracle. It's an event in which there is a suspension or transcendence or expediting of the normal order of things. Now, what a lot of us call miracles are events or instances, happenings that are actually providential acts of God. They are provisions. They are provided by God. Providential acts of God are those sovereign actions of God in our interest by which He arranges things in a way that turns out to be especially benevolent or beneficial to us, or maybe to somebody else where you are part of that. Sometimes we're involved as agents of God's providential acts as well. All of us have had those kinds of things happen. This summer when I was bitten by that dog and they rushed me to the emergency room and I was bleeding all over everything, I got there, and this is a providential action. I was in the emergency room, and they were really messing with me and taking it. And this guy walks by right out there, and one of the nurses says, "Go get him." And he was a orthopedic surgeon that works for, does a lot of sports injury and hand surgery, and he just happened to walk by the emergency room. He had been in surgery, and he was getting done, and it was at 10 o'clock at night. Now, that's a providential action. He was there to take care of me at that moment. I mean, he could have got done an hour earlier. And I don't know what they would have done then. But he just happened to be there. He came in and he took a look at this stuff and did some things with the nurses. He says, "I'll see you at 6 o'clock in the morning. We're going to do the surgery on this hand." Now, you can say, "Well, it's just coincidence." And people mock this kind of thing, you know. But I'm here to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, he was in the right place at the right time, and this one happened to be for me. I don't know how many times I have been in the right place at the right time for people in terms of providential action where I get involved in their life situation, and it's just what they needed. And you probably have done the same thing or had it happen to you. Providential actions. Some people think, now I've heard people mock this, that God will give you parking places when you pray for them. Now, people have joked about that with me, and it is mocked. Some people treat those instances as miracle actions of God. I've heard people talk about that being a miracle. Finally, frankly, I don't care if you believe that God gives parking places or not, especially when it comes to vulture parking. When we were over at Woodland Chapel, you know what vulture parking is, don't you? That's where you drive around the parking lot like a vulture waiting for one of these things to open up. Well, we used to have that over at Woodland. Anyway, the Bible nowhere says, "Thou shalt believe in parking places and thou shalt be saved." It doesn't say that. And all I know is that there are times, though, when there is no question in my mind that my Heavenly Father has arranged a situation for me because I needed it. It's a timing thing. And there are a couple times I've been really involved in vulture parking, by the way. And there has mysteriously been provided a parking place. But there are other times when that has not happened. And there are people that will tell you that they always pray for and get parking places. And, you know, praise God if they're anointed for parking places. By the way, I'm anointed for weather. You know, I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and I have done a lot of weddings. And when I was down in Kentucky for 23 years, all the brides had to walk outside to get to the back of the church. And so I always knew. I have never had a at a bride rained on. I always pray for clear weather. Now, that's strange, but you can take it to the bank. I've never had a bride rained on. I've even done a few outside. I did one outside a couple years ago, and I swear to God, it was storming every place but where I was doing the wedding. Right, Terry Mason? And as soon as we got done, buddy, it opened up. So I'm anointed for weather. Where God does a specific thing for you in a providential act of His for you, things that are arranged around you, and I just use parking places as a flippant example. But I'll give you another example. I says, as to whether this is a miracle or a providential act, the Bear game last Sunday. You know, I thought I jinxed them when I started talking about them in church. I said, I know they're going to lose now. Was that a providential act or was that a miracle? It's close on either call there. How many times have you recognized that if you had not been at a particular place at a particular time, you would have not encountered a particular person that you needed to encounter or they needed to encounter you? These kinds of things happen to us all the time. And there are people who say, well, that's just a miracle. Well, it's really nice to think that, but I don't think it's a miracle. It's a providential act of God. Now, I don't even think God cares what you call it, whether you call it a miracle or a providential act. I don't think God cares because God doesn't play word games. The reason I point it up to you, though, is because we become experts in terminology, and as we say these kinds of things, there is a certain group of people who would like to believe in miracles, but they really become skeptical of people who call anything that happens a miracle. And there are people who say, you know, I can see how you could explain that, and while I'm not saying that God isn't kind for doing that, but you talk about everything being a miracle, and I just have a hard time believing that. And so sometimes it's good to, you know, kind of take a look at what we're saying. I hope you're with me on that. Now, there's another group of people out there who wouldn't believe in miracles if one hit them right in the face, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about reasonable people. We could actually become an opponent of our own cause, that people who would like to be encouraged in terms of their belief, but we use terms like miraculous when it's obviously, you know, kind of a squirrely thing to do. All of us, if we want to be used by God as His agent, need to speak with some wisdom and understanding about things. And we need to speak with wisdom when it comes to God's workings in this world. Whether we're talking about the providential acts of God or where we actually see God working, where He transcends or expedites or just sets aside the natural order of things. So I took time this morning, before we really get into some of the pictures that are in the Bible, to give a little bit of instruction in terms of this. And I hope this has helped you, focusing on your miracles and your understanding of providential acts. And we'll see what the Bears do today, if you know what I mean. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that that just in the definition of things that you would kind of guide us in that as we look at our lives and the actions that you do take in our lives and in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.